It feels like it's been a year-long winter in a way, like we've been in hibernation or something. And we're so looking forward to spring. And so we have the spring equinox coming up on March the 20th, which is the first day of spring here in North America. And what we want to begin our time with is a video. It's called Celebration of the Divine Feminine. And so it's, you know, about birth and all that we think of in relationship to the spring. But it's an adaptation of Ave Maria by our dear friend, Kristen Hoffman, for those of you who know her. And she's basically taken Ave Maria, which was originally, I'm sure you probably know, a Christian song. And it was specifically to Mary, the mother of Jesus, the song was about. And she's incorporated other divine feminine figures in that and expanded the meaning of it. So although we often think about Ave Maria as being a Christmas song, tonight it's a spring song. So Chris is going to play that for us.
Sure.
Thank you to dear Kristen. Isn't that so beautiful? So it does seem like this transition out of a year-long winter, if you will, hibernation period, and moving into spring, it feels like a really good time for some reflection. So we're going to do some of that tonight. And I'd like to just say for myself, I've been looking recently at what are all of the advantages of the pandemic? You know, what have been the opportunities, and asking myself, have I fully taken advantage of those opportunities and really immersed myself in what's so in this moment, as opposed to resisting what's so and regretting and longing for something to go back like it was. And as I'm sure you can, I can think of many, many things that are wonderful about the pandemic. And yet, definitely the spiritual opportunities rise to the surface as the most important. All around the world, many, many people have deepened their spiritual practices or maybe become interested spiritually in ways that they never were before. And I think we've seen some of that as we've offered services on Zoom in our communities around the globe. People are coming that we had not seen before and hadn't engaged with before, and that's been wonderful. Same thing with our classes that we're offering online. I love the fact that in this ministry, we have focused on what we can do as opposed to what we can't do. And I think really made good use of Zoom. We may all be tired of it by now, but look at all the things we've been able to do on Zoom, including birthday parties and happy hours and, you know, coffee breaks in the middle of our online events. It's been a wonderful time to really immerse ourselves in connecting, even though we can't be together physically. And I celebrate that. I also know for myself personally, when we first went into lockdown, which for us at Sunrise was almost exactly a year ago, in about 2 weeks, it'll be, I think, a year from the day that we went into lockdown, I saw it immediately as an opportunity for me to deepen my spiritual practice and to look in a very introspective way at my life in general, my lifestyle in general, and make very conscious choices where pre-pandemic, I was kind of living the life I'd been living for quite some time without really giving it a whole lot of thought. And so that's been a big blessing. I think one of the things for many, many people that has happened during this time is an awareness of the pain of separation from source. Because normally we have so many ways to distract ourselves, right? You know, we're busy with the people in our lives, which is a wonderful thing to stay connected with them. But we also can use social activities and all of the things that we do all the time doing to distract us from that core, most important connection in our life, which is our connection to God and what place that connection has in our lives. We can become distracted from the importance of that. So this has been a wonderful opportunity in that regard. And David spoke on Sunday about the invisible web of connection. So the invisible web of connection that is scientifically proven at this point, the field of oneness, we could call it, we know that we're always connected to that, whether we're physically able to be with people or not. But habitually, we probably don't feel as connected in the invisible web of connection as we could, because we get to see the people that we love. We get to spend time with them. And so that's what we're missing, and that's what we're longing for. And it feels that we're disconnected. So I know for me, it has been an opportunity to be more aware of the invisible connection with people and taking advantage of touching into that in a practice of attunement. And also just knowing that my loved ones are always there, even when I can't see them. We've had some particular challenges in our family this year with at times I couldn't see my daughter and my grandson, who were two of the closest people in my life, because of my daughter's pregnancy and various other things, trying to keep her safe. We all have those circumstances, right, where there's we've either had to isolate ourselves a lot, or we've had to be in certain pods and that has to exclude other people. But the opportunity to stay connected and know that we're connected, I think, is so important, because then when we do get to be together, how much more magical will it be to be able to hug those people that you already have learned to feel more connected with without the physical connection. So that's very, very special. And one of the thoughts that I have around that is that the opportunity to move into an experience of grace because of this. I know for myself, when I look at those times in my life that I felt most aware of grace, it was often in the midst of a tragic circumstance or after a tragic circumstance. And certainly COVID has been a tragic circumstance globally. But I think that in this case, what feels like the wonderful opportunity for grace is that the ability to hold what is most precious to us close to our heart during this time, which I imagine many of us have increased our awareness of that, we then go into gratitude. And gratitude is a gateway to grace, but also forgiveness is a great gateway to grace. It's one of our primary EDL teachings, gratitude and forgiveness. And for myself, alongside of valuing my relationships and my connections and holding precious the people that are that I'm closest with, that I love dearly, including many of you on this call, of course, what I have found is I'm so much quicker to forgive. I'm so much quicker to let things go. I'm so much quicker, maybe the more accurate way to say it is to transcend whatever's happening in the moment that I'm not happy with or uncomfortable with. And I think it comes from a stronger spiritual grounding that I've developed over this time, and the ability to stop and see more clearly what's happening. For example, being more empathetic and more compassionate, because we know people are suffering through this time. Jane and I joke sometimes about, I'm an introvert, so this hasn't been nearly as hard for me as it has been for her. So, you know, I have a certain compassion for my extrovert friends of how hard this is for them. You know, not that it's been easy for me, but nothing like for those people. There's a certain part of me that kind of relished at the beginning of, I was like, wow, I'm going to just really go deep into my introvert tendencies and just let this just go all out being an introvert right now. That was good for a while, and then I got tired of it. But here we are in an opportunity to see each other more clearly and have more empathy and love and understanding of each other in this difficult time. And then we have the takeaways of the lessons we've learned and what we've seen and learned about ourselves and how we've grown that we can work with. So I'd like to pass it over to Jane.
Thank you, Uma. How kind of you to be sympathetic to us extroverts. I am definitely an extrovert, and one of the things of presenting on Zoom is you get no response. So you could say something really clever or funny and deadpan, you know, it's just so, it works just fine to just stay centered, but it is a challenge of unique to extroverts versus introverts. So we decided, Uma and I, to take a look at the fact that we've all spent almost an entire year in what we're calling hibernation. And at times hibernation is just, we know that it's during the winter for the animals, but to have been in a hibernating space for all four seasons, even though we have Ruth French with us, she's now going into the autumn, we're going into the spring. She still had all four seasons of being in hibernation. And the difference of being in your house when there's minimal light versus a lot of light, and just stretching into the fact that there is, it's the atmosphere that you're in, not necessarily the season or the length of the time, because we've been doing this a lot longer than any of us probably expected. And it's not over yet, but we are going into the possibility of opening up, where air will be moving and light will be shining. And again, for it's different in the Northern Hemisphere than the Southern Hemisphere, but to acknowledge, we use the Ave Maria piece because it's the welcoming of the of a new way of holding the holy space, which is what the womb is about. Kristen sang Ave Maria, Ave Sophia, Ave Shekinah. And Ave in Latin means hail. And as David was speaking about just on Sunday, when he used the word Kumbaya, the song Kumbaya, it's come by here. So when you're saying hail to the spirit of Mary, to the spirit of Sophia, and to the atmosphere of Shekinah, there is, it's also the call, come here, hail, I see thee, I acknowledge that the atmosphere of what we're talking about is present. I acknowledge that there is value, power in the presence of that atmosphere. I grew up with, you know, Ave Maria is the Hail Mary, which is a prayer to the Blessed Mother in Latin. But the song itself is not just a Catholic song. It's obviously represents a connection to the divine feminine, a connection to sacredness. And my experience on Sunday, and it has continued since then, was the welcoming of the Holy Spirit, the welcoming of breath, the experience of knowing that when one invites the Holy Spirit in, when one says, Kumbaya, come by here, someone is lonely, Lord, come by here. How many of us have felt lonely in the midst of this imposed hibernation? And imposed just to keep ourselves safe, not just because the government says so, but to keep ourselves in a container where we're not interfering with someone else's health and we're also taking care of our own, but still to invite the spirit into the sacred spaces of our privacy. Come by here. When it feels hard, when we feel lonely, when we feel hungry for each other's company, we have invited the spirit. Come by here. Kumbaya. And I know I've had many moments of just steady prayer in being alone in my house for extended hours of the day. And perhaps it's not something others have done, but I know some people have done extended ways of praying just by being deliberate in their work. So it's not, I'm not talking about on the knees, hands folded kind of prayer. It's increased steady conscious function, staying in the creative process, not allowing the loneliness or the isolation to stop me from staying creative and in the process of communion with the spirit. Ave Sophia, I welcome the wisdom that comes into the picture when I invite it. And my experience, Uma was speaking about grace, my experience of wisdom is often when I get large enough to see there's a whole lot more going on than what's the little picture in front of me, which might feel confining or limited or frustrating or difficult. So there is the welcoming of Holy Spirit, the welcoming of the sacred breath, the acknowledgement that when the Holy Spirit, when Sophia, when Maria, when anything is welcomed, there's now a presence that can be felt and experienced. I learned a long time ago about the tradition of leaving a chair empty for Elijah at a dinner table. And it has been my experience that when we, in fact, invite the Spirit, something, there is a presence. And I'm not talking about some being that zooms down. There is the welcoming of the sacred atmosphere. And in hibernation or in the situations we found ourselves, I know we've had the opportunity to invite the use of all the space we have had to be the use of sacred atmosphere. And we can do that anytime, but when something is imposed, we have the chance to be more conscious about what the atmosphere is presenting to us. So I have asked my friends Tom and Layla to speak a little bit about their experience over these last 12 months, and I welcome the two of them to share their stories.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Jane and Uma. That's such beautiful sharing, and God, that song, just so beautiful. Well, we were asked to speak on a couple of questions. First one being, what did we notice about ourselves during the pandemic hibernation? And when I had the test, I was like flat down the middle between introvert and extrovert, with maybe like an eighth of an inch on the extrovert side. I think I've gone the other way because while I deeply love and cherish connection and communion, I love hibernation. I just have loved it. And I'm not ready to get out. And I noticed just how much I love being in that contemplative state of retreat, and the depth of passion I have for attunement and the attunement process in all of its forms, from the what I guess is being called now the energy medicine practice, as well as a spiritual practice and deep personal transformation, not just personal transformation, the transformational process that clears the way to be a pure channel for the divine. The other thing I learned is that I still can get distracted by the political concerns. So I do work with discipline, but it's a work in progress, but the passion for the other things is outweighing the other stuff.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I know by nature that I am clearly an introvert. When I was asked, what did I notice about myself? I love the solitude. I really liked the quietness. For there was a period of time when everything just seemed so quiet. But I also look at myself as an optimist. And despite what I would consider a lot of tragic circumstances and some really profound losses, I felt that this was a time of transition, that it not only for the world, but also for me. And I've used this opportunity to get to know myself better. I've always been someone who's comfortable with myself. So I've wanted to be even connect more to my own true being, but also connect in different ways. This has allowed me an opportunity to connect in a global sense with each and every one of you. And we've made it a practice to go to Australia. So we get to go to Australia every week and no jet lag. And it's just been a really a moment to get to know myself more, to get more, go from the head. I've been fully employed this whole time, but I've used the opportunity to find ways to just become more in connection with myself and my own being, and move to a place that is more profound, more deeply rooted, and more connected. and just find grace and beauty and thankfulness in every moment. Even when things seem dark, there's always going to be something on the light will always come back. And I'm just convinced of that. So thank you for this opportunity, Jane.
Beautiful. Thank you, Layla.
Thank you.
So we're going to have, we have an opportunity now to do some reflection, all of us, on this past year and our experience. And what I'd like for you to consider is, what are some of the experiences that you've had, and what have you noticed about yourself during this time? What have you learned about yourself? And then the other thing is, what were some of the advantages of this time, to really look and see where were the opportunities? So Chris is going to put us into small groups. And the questions we're asking are, what did you notice about yourself during the pandemic hibernation period? And what were the advantages of this time for you?
Well, thank you all. I trust you got some insights to what has been happening for your friends over this last year. It is unbelievably, I got Uma as my partner. So we've been talking about this for days, so we had to make stuff up. We have another round that we want to go into, small groups of three. Sometimes there'll be four. And there'll be 10 minutes for this one as well. And these are the questions we'd like you to consider. How can you make good use of the remainder of this hibernation time? We don't know how long it'll be, but we know things are loosening up. So how can you make good use of the remainder of this hibernation time? And how would you like to be in the world as things open up? What would be different? What would you like to be different as you step back into what was once considered normal? We know that normal is not the right word, but familiar. So how can you make good use of the remainder of this hibernation time? How would you like to be in the world as things open up? And what would be different? What would you like to be different? So we have 10 minutes and we'll go. So Chris, if you can move us around. Welcome back, everybody. So we have a little bit of time left, and I want to open the space. If there's anything that you discovered or anything that that's moving with you, you'd like to share in the whole group, just unmute yourself and be aware that there are over 40 people on the line. So don't take up the whole time, but space is open if there's anything moving with you that's important to share as we start to close our time tonight.
Well, I've taken this opportunity to announce that Sarah just lost the mother. It happened yesterday. And thank you all for this wonderful period and all that we're doing. Thank you.
Well, blessings to her, Samuel. Thank you.
Well, I would just mention that I feel this pandemic that we've been going through has opened up opportunities to touch human consciousness in a new way. I've always resonated with a particular expression, man's extremity is God's opportunity. And when people are in extreme circumstances, such as has been brought on by the pandemic, they are in some ways more open to what we are bringing. So, since my spiritual practice is working with the news media primarily, I've been able to touch people through that medium who are experiencing the pandemic in a new way. it's really opened up opportunities that I don't think I would otherwise have had.
Thanks, Jerry. I'm feeling a common thread that, you know, we've all gone deeper into ourselves. And there's an intriguing, interesting, leery, I don't know, feeling of going back into the world. And I don't know about you, but for me, every time I transform, my world doesn't want me to. My world wants me the original, the other way I was. You know, no, don't change. What are you talking changing? Honestly, you can't change. You know, so I feel like I'm gonna be a warrior for meeting people new when we go out to the real world. Like, hi, Uma, nice to meet you. You know, like, I'm Keahi. Like, just know that everyone's gonna be new. How about that? Let's spread that around. Everyone's new. You know, yeah, you know, because we're all changed through this, and let's just see all each other new and see all things new. I'm gonna sell that. Yes, push that around.
I sure see you as new.
Thank you, Dorian.
I feel no more normal. All new. It's been a big, big change, and we've seen how the world is able to change through this. And it should give us some idea of what's possible.
You know, it's not something I mentioned or Uma mentioned, but even though we're talking about hibernation and this pandemic, what's been happening in this country during this time has been huge. And we are in a different world than we were when this began. I mean, the very fact that the virus has in place and so many people have died, and what's happened in our government and at the Capitol building, and there's so much. There's this personal element that we're holding tonight. But when you said that, Keahi, I just realized, well, it is new. The whole world has changed, actually. So why would we think we haven't?
Just as the natural world has become more natural, more purified and relaxed in a sense, and at ease, I think this cycle for us of in quietude, and genuineness, in deep discovery of self. I don't want to go back into the world with the hectic, ambitious, restless, anything that's left in me of being aggressive in any way. I want to bring genuineness in a deep way. I love what Keahi said. I want to meet people in the depths of their being and share that and know that we can open something up that we can trust and express together.
That's beautiful, Bob. Thank you. There's something for me that I've been experiencing. Maybe it feels like it's more normalized for me because I've been spending a lot of time with the kids on the ranch. And the level of play and laughter and the parents, like our effort to like keep things as normal as possible for them has just done something. And I feel this like, oh, wait, it's, I don't want that to be over. Like, that's really good stuff that's happening there. And so I just want to take a moment and just celebrate that experience and the imagination that's been sparked inside of me of what's possible from that place to dream big about what can happen in the next cycle, like knowing that that's like a foundation of what I want to share in and with the world.
One tremendous blessing that has come out of this time is the miracle of Zoom. And I feel like I've gotten to know people on more of an intimate level than I did even when I was traveling to conferences and other gatherings at the ranch or elsewhere. And so to have this facility available where we can come together and get to know each other and talk to each other and speak in ways that we don't normally have the opportunity for. And so that has been a tremendous blessing the whole time. And it assuaged any tendency I might've had towards loneliness or whatever. I don't really get lonely anyhow because I've pretty much been a loner all my life, but But anyhow, I hope we can continue this. When we get back to normal, I hope Zoom becomes a part of that normal.
Thanks, Ron. I've also been feeling this way, and this is what I've wanted to offer, is the gift of being together at the ranch, because I don't live with everyone there. And just to get to know, like, the mixing where we meet each other on Wednesday nights in little groups, what an opportunity that has been to get to know people a bit more and to just bond and feel that sacredness of being with the larger family and the gift of that. And I so have appreciated David's vision to offer this, to offer Zoom and to make use of that so that we weren't stifled in any way by what happened. There's always a way. And it's amazing when we take advantage of those and see past a hindrance. So it has been a privilege, and it continues to be a privilege to share with one another, to expand our vision, because we've shared something with someone else that maybe thinks just slightly differently or totally differently, and the growth that's possible and has happened. So many thanks to these experiences, and to everyone. Glad to be with everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Phyllis. I'd add to that also that in many ways, aspects of life have been reasonably normal for some time in South Australia. And we're certainly in the midst of festival season and many entertainment venues and events are happening with some slight limitations. But here at Riverdale, when we started to meet together in the sanctuary, there was the call that we continue with Zoom, because it had been an increase in generation with us being together around the world, together around Australia. We wish that, yes, our longing is to keep those connections. And I'll just mention that a short time after this finishes, I will be meeting online with Jeff and Linda Tisch, who this week were to run a program with others doing The Power of Eight, Lynn McTaggart's adventure, really into the inside web of connection, the invisible web of connection, I mean. They're working with that. So I'm just extending your awareness of the web, so alive and adds so much. Love being with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth, and thank you all. I just want to ask Uma if there's any closing words from you.
I just want to say I love you all so much, and I can't think of a bunch of people to get locked down with better than you. Thank you, Jane. Thank you.
Sending love to you, everyone.
Blessings all.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Good to be together.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good
night. Bye. Thank you, Tom and Layla.
Sarah.
Welcome.
Thank you,
Tom and Layla.
Yes, thank you, Tom and Layla.
Bye, Bruce.
Bye, Ruth.
Bye.
You look amazing.
Give our love to Sarah, please.
Love to Sarah.
Thank you.
Oh, Linda.
Yes.
Thank you, Samuel.
We know we've taken a quantum leap when Piper can leap from one to the next.
Yes. Good to see you, Ruth. Thank you for sharing.
JJ.
Yes, that was awesome. My heart goes to Sarah. Yes. Love you. Glad you joined us.
Hello to Rick Bischoff, my brother's.